The rest of the story. In 1883, it was hailed as the world's greatest engineering accomplishment since the completion of the Erie Canal. New York City's Brooklyn Bridge. Originally masterminded by German-born genius John Brobling, plans for the bridge met with their final approval on June 21 of 1869. 1 month later, Brobling was dead. Without his continuing guidance, his supervision, the project was a bridge too far, and now he was gone, and only one engineer in the world was qualified to carry on, and that is the rest of the story. New York City had been inhabited by the white man for nearly 2.5 centuries, and yet no bridge had ever spanned the East River to connect Manhattan Island with Long Island. And then along came John Augustus Roebling, German-born, genuine multifaceted genius, mathematician, philosopher, linguist, musician, inventor. As an engineer, no one could compare to John Roebling. So, when in June of 1857 he proposed to build a bridge across the East River, the possibility was for the first time taken seriously. If Roebling said it could be done, it could be done. After the Uncivil War, he submitted plans for a bridge twice as long as any other ever. A bridge capable of bearing nearly 19,000 tons. This was to be the Brooklyn Bridge. Permission granted by the state legislature in 1867. 2 years of technicalities and approvals were to follow. But then in June of 1869, the final legal clearance, construction would begin. But 2 weeks later, John Roebling stood on a Brooklyn wharf surveying the locations of his main piers. A ferry boat pulled into the dock. John tripped. His right foot was crushed between the oncoming ferry and the slip. Within an hour, emergency surgery. Toes were amputated. Lockjaw set in. In 16 days, the mastermind of the Brooklyn Bridge was dead. As the worlds of art and science mourned his passing, his son, now 32, a capable engineer who'd worked alongside his father, was thrust into the big shoes. But no sooner had Roebling's son gotten his teeth into this enormously demanding project that he too fell ill and became incapacitated, partially paralyzed, unable to carry on. Now those who had devoted all to this phenomenal task began to wonder, began to worry. Without the careful supervision of Roebling or his son, without their solutions to spontaneous problems which would most certainly arise during construction, the project might well be doomed. But somebody did arrive to keep the Brooklyn Bridge alive. An engineer, accomplished in higher mathematics, perhaps the only individual in the entire world sufficiently qualified to field marshal such a complex operation, and it came to pass. May 24, 1883, 11 arduous years later, the Brooklyn Bridge was officially opened. Attending the joyous celebration were President Chester A. Arthur, accompanied by then-Governor of New York, Grover Cleveland. Anyone who was anyone was there, except for John Roebling's still paralyzed son and the engineer who had taken over that monumental project 11 years before. They watched the ceremonies of the day through binoculars from an apartment window. For the technical engineer who had completed the greatest engineering project since the Erie Canal, the brilliant brain which had forged John Roebling's incomparable design into steel and stone, had done so while caring for a paralyzed husband, Emily Warren Roebling. Emily Roebling, John Roebling's daughter-in-law. And now you know the rest of the story.